Welcome, everyone, to the ProWrestling.net All Access Podcast. My name is Chris Short. Joining me, as always, is Jake Barnett. We are here for your WWE SmackDown audio review. Jake and I get together every Saturday and do this review for you guys, talk about what happened on SmackDown and what it means in the grand scheme of the WWE universe. But we do a lot more audio on the site every week for you guys, and I know I get this pitch every week, and I'm gonna shrink the pitch down just a little bit here and say we do a ton of audio. We've got the .NET Countdown. Jake and Will Pruitt look at the best and worst in wrestling each week. Jason Powell does a Raw review on Mondays. Will Pruitt does an Impact review on Fridays for the Thursday night show. Jason does a Q&A audio on Fridays where members can ask questions of both wrestling and non-wrestling nature. And then Thursday is our .NET weekly show. We cover all the news of the week. We call it our flagship show. And folks, now is the time to sign up. We say it all the time, but we are celebrating our fifth anniversary. We just had our fifth birthday. It's been a lot of fun working here on the site. I know Jake agrees with me on that. And this is the time you want to sign up because we are doing old school sign-ups, just $5 a month, even for a month-to-month option, annual option. We got a six-month option for you where you get a free month, a couple free months when you sign up for the year. It is the perfect time. It's never, ever going to be cheaper. And if you are a member and you're signed up under a more expensive option, then by all means, go ahead and go and cancel that subscription. Sign up under the new rate that we've got out there now, or the special rate, and you'll be able to lock in at that rate. So whether you're a member or a non-member, if you're paying more for .NET than that $5 a month, then now is the time to go sign up, be a .NET member all over again, and get it for just $5 a month. Details on the page, ProWrestling.net, right at the top of the page. The first thing there is the .NET birthday sale. So sign up now to be a .NET member. Jay, let's talk about SmackDown. And this is WWE's final chance to sell the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view. Of course, that's this Sunday. Jason Powell and I will have double coverage of that, as well as an audio review exclusive to our members that night. So those of you that take advantage of the sale can get that from us on Sunday night. And, you know, we get one final chance for them to sell the Elimination Chamber. I was pretty excited about this show going in. Pretty excited about Elimination Chamber before going into this show. I don't think this show raised my expectation level at all on this, but I'm curious, where were you before the show, and did they do anything new to sell you in the middle of SmackDown?
You know, I haven't really been wholly impressed by really any of the build, specifically for any of these matches we're going to see on Sunday. But, you know, aside from that, I'm actually looking forward to the pay-per-view just because, just on paper, it looks like we're going to get a lot of very good matches out of this show. And that, you know, that really has been my sole attraction to order Elimination Chamber thus far. And this show didn't do anything to change my, my expectations around the drama. I mean, I'm still looking forward to all the matches, but there really isn't anything storyline-wise here. And maybe it's the short build, or maybe they're just having an off month, but there hasn't been a whole lot of interesting things happening storyline wise, so I'm thinking, you know, this is just kind of just to get through this pay-per-view, and then maybe we'll see some more interesting stuff coming out of the show for WrestleMania when they actually get into gear and start telling those serious stories.
Yeah, I wrote in my hit list today that they've done a good job of selling the show. You know, I want to see the show, too. You're right. I'm not really impressed with any of the particular builds. And I think the reason why is that the vast majority of selling of Elimination Chamber has been done verbally. You know, there hasn't been. We've got an Elimination Chamber match, and they've put some of those guys who are in that match together in other matches, but they seem very random and not connected to that match at all. I don't think they've done a good job. The announced teams haven't of tying those things together. And so while they've done a good job of talking up the show, they haven't done a good job of what I call wrestling up the show, in that none of the matches feel like the match itself is going to have drama. You look down the card and you go, well, God, it's Shield, and they've already had one great match. Want to see what they do with Ryback, Cena, how, you know, we can, you know, expect a crazy finish, but, you know, it's Cena, so you never know, we might get Super Cena, and anyway, so there's drama in the stories around it that you can kind of latch on to, but nothing, you don't look at any of these matches and think like there's going to be great drama in the ring. And I think that for pay-per-views especially, you kind of need to build to that because that's that's something that that's part of the pay-per-view appeal is the longer matches and, you know, more of a storytelling aspect to those matches themselves. So I think where that's their failure has been. And again, tonight we've got a couple of these matches. Mark Henry versus Randy Orton was one that they put out there, both those guys in the chamber. But then, you know, you've got Jack Swagger out there with Zeb Coulter doing their gimmick, but he's wrestling against Zack Ryder, and, you know, how does that really make him look better and whatnot? So it's you're right. They've not done a great job of building any one of these, but nevertheless, it still looks like a good card or good card when you just look at it from top to bottom. If someone asked you, you know, I'm kind of on the fence about this. I don't know whether I should or I shouldn't. Would you recommend they buy Elimination Chamber at this point?
Yeah, I mean, if you were going to, you know, to purchase it for any reason at all, it would just be because there's, you know, look at the matches on the card. I mean, we know to expect good things there. I mean, we've seen good matches from, you know, Del Rio and Big Show, all by, you know, nobody expected much out of them. I mean, they've really kind of rised above expectations there. And as you mentioned, the Shield had a great match with Ryback and Team Hell No a few months ago. You know, the Rock and Punk are sure to, you know, deliver something entertaining, even if it's not a technical masterpiece. And, you know, the Elimination Chambers are always, you know, spectacles, whether, you know, the in-ring action, you know, supersedes previous Elimination Chambers remains to be seen. But, you know, there's a lot of positive things to say about this show, and they put the right pieces in places where they should be interesting. But it's just, you know, if you watch wrestling for the storytelling and the drama, which I guess, you know it is a major factor for some, maybe not so much for others, I think they dropped the ball there. But, you know, if you're just a fan of the mindless wrestling action, you know, just you enjoy a good action flick kind of event, I think Elimination Chamber should be a lot of fun. It's probably worth a purchase.
And, of course, it'll be setting everything up for WrestleMania, so we can expect some drama around it, but it's just been a weak build. I think they've looked at the card and said the card's good, and that should kind of sell itself. And on some level, I would agree, but it doesn't mean they couldn't have added a little more to it. You know, the big question, the winner of the Elimination Chamber, of course, goes on to WrestleMania as the number one contender for the World Championship. We've got the World Championship on the line here. I'm going to go ahead and put you on the spot. I know you're going to do a premium prediction article for us this weekend, but right now, who do you think? Who's your favorite in the Elimination Chamber, and who do you think leaves with the World Heavyweight Championship? Is Dolph Ziggler going to cash in, or is it one of the other two guys?
You know, I'm kind of up in the air about this now. You know, they've done a pretty good job just in the last two shows of establishing a pretty good motive and potential storyline for Jack Swagger to take on Alberto Del Rio. And whether that is going to build, you know, and simmer over time, and they won't capitalize on that until after WrestleMania, I'm not sure. But I was, you know, almost all in on Mark Henry last week, because I think his return has been excellent as well. So I'm kind of torn between those two. I still favor Henry to win the Elimination Chamber, and I gotta think that that Del Rio keeps the title, and then Big Show walks out of the Elimination Chamber without the World Heavyweight Championship. But I don't know about Ziggler. I mean, I even hesitate to predict because I've been wrong so many times. But I'm going to go with Henry winning the Elimination Chamber and Del Rio walking out of the arena with the title.
Yeah, the as I said this week on .NET Weekly, the gag last year, I guess it was no, this is the pay-per-view that Hunter returns at. No, this is the pay-per-view. I basically predicted in every pay-per-view Hunter's return this year. No, this is the pay-per-view where Ziggler cashes in. So I'm not picking Ziggler just because, and damn, I know it's going to happen because of that. Well, let's talk about this show from start to finish. Jake, of course, will have his premium predictions article, as will I, on Sunday afternoon for you guys, and then Jason Powell and I live coverage of the show Sunday night. But let's go through SmackDown from start to finish. This was taped on the 12th of February in Little Rock, Arkansas. It was, of course, aired on February the 15th, the day after Valentine's Day. We get the recap of Punk and Rock's confrontation from Raw, and they hyped, of course, the fact that The Rock would be on SmackDown. Very interested to see what the ratings do with Rock back on SmackDown this week. to see if he's able to lift. They've been very, very high throughout this run between Royal Rumble and Elimination Chamber, and so I'm interested to see if he's able to even goose them up even higher, because that would be kind of amazing to see him get above that 2.2 rating that they did. We open with Big Show's music. He comes to the ring. They get clips showing Del Rio mocking him and taking the tires off his bus, dumping the orange paint on him and whatnot. Big Show says that he figured the crowd thought that was funny, but he wanted to point out that Alberto Del Rio had never pinned him. He said Del Rio didn't have what it paid to pin him, and he said the rage that had been built inside of him when he balled up his fist and when he let it fly was going to be too much. Del Rio's fiesta would turn into a siesta. In a cute little line there. Chris Jericho's music hits. He comes out the ring. Good pop for Jericho. Jericho said he's known Show for 16 years and can read him like a book. He said he knows what he's feeling. He said if he knows him as well, Show said if he knows him as well as he claims he does, this would be a good time to get away from him. He didn't want to be anywhere near him. He asked him if he shouldn't be on tour or hosting a robot show or writing a book. Cute little line there from Show. I like that. Jericho said he's been on tour. He's hosting a robot show on Sci-Fi. But that was irrelevant because he was back. He was better than ever. He, you know, did the self-promotion sort of thing. He said that Show was one of the biggest forces in the company, and there was probably a good chance he was going to win that the World Heavyweight Championship, but he had to remember that that meant Jericho would be facing him at WrestleMania because Jericho was going to win the Elimination Chamber, and he was going to go on to win the title at WrestleMania. Show assured him that that was not going to happen. And he said, if you win the Elimination Chamber going to WrestleMania, it'd be the last WrestleMania of your career. Jericho told him, do him a favor and get out of his face as they were starting to get heated. Booker T came out at that point and did what any good general manager would do. He booked those two for the main event. And we closed out the opening segment. It was effective. They got there. Both guys did what they did, and it was well done. But it set me on fire. I assume you feel the same way.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think Show was much better angry than he is, you know, at what he was doing last week with the crying and the paint and everything else. But so that much is for certain. I think Jericho has done a great job of kind of reviving some of that nostalgia around his Y2J act. He's definitely, he's not going full tilt with some of the silliness that seemed to be pervasive in that act, but he is channeling it somewhat in a more moderated way, and I think it's connecting with people. You know, he's got new fans that kind of like the smart aleck part of his character, and he's got old fans that are, you know, that are into the nostalgia part of it. So that he seems to be connecting with a large portion of the audience. You got to give him credit for that. There wasn't anything spectacular for him to talk about in this. In this opening segment, but it did get the main event booked. So, I mean, it was a passable use at the time, but it definitely didn't do anything for me as far as Elimination Chamber was concerned.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It was, like I said, it didn't set me on fire. Like, it was well done. I enjoyed it here, but it was, you know, if these two were facing each other and supposedly it's a potential matchup for WrestleMania, then why burn through it? You know, we know it's not going to be the WrestleMania match, or we can just about bet on it. It would be one of the least likely to be the WrestleMania match. But, you know, but why make it a point of saying that by putting these two guys out there like that? So, yeah, it didn't do anything to build Elimination Chamber, but it was good for what it was. What I did like, though, was what happened next, where we cut backstage and Randy Orton was walking by, and he stopped by Mark Henry, or stopped by Matt Stryker and asked about Mark Henry, and before he could say anything, Henry walked up, and they just stared at each other. Henry's music hit, he kind of glanced up at the music hitting, nodded, and walked out and left Orton there going to the commercial break. Randy Orton's promos can be so boring and cut and dry. This might be my favorite Randy Orton promo, Jay.
Yeah, the stare down was definitely better than what you would assume Randy Orton would have said, which probably wouldn't have been a whole lot different than what he said last week before his match with Henry. So this was well done. I think it was a nice change of pace rather than having Orton blather on for a couple of meaningless sentences.
and I thought, hey, I'm just, you know, just one of those really good visuals. I thought there were a couple of good visuals they had tonight in the show. We'll talk about them as we get to them, but this was one of those two just staring at each other, and then the music hitting, and Henry kind of, oh, yeah, that's us, and walking out and leaving it like that. I liked how they did that. And, of course, after commercial, we did get our first match of the night, Mark Henry defeating Randy Orton by DQ at 10 minutes and 42 seconds. Finish on this with Cameron. They had a good long match. It was kind of a plotting match. I know you weren't a big fan of it. We'll talk about it in a second. But they were building very slow for it. They ended up on the outside with Orton trying to hit an RKO on the outside. Henry blocked it. Henry went for the world's strongest slam, but Orton got out of it again. At that point, he grabbed the chair, hit Henry in the gut with it. That caused a DQ. Then teed off on him a couple of times, hit him with the chair. They ended up back in the ring, and all of a sudden, Henry scooped up Orton and hit the world's strongest slam to be the last man standing at that point. I know you weren't a fan of this, and I'm willing to hear your comments. It wasn't a great match, but I didn't think it was all that bad.
Oh, I mean, it wasn't terrible. I mean, it just felt really slow to me. Like, I mean, it was an 11-minute match, and it felt like it was going in first gear for the majority of the match. And, you know, right when they kind of started to pick it up, it was over. And that it was just kind of disappointing to me. I was hoping we'd get a little bit more out of these guys after this being their second match in 2 weeks. It just kind of felt like, you know, the same match, except last week it was 5 minutes, and then they dragged the same match along this week for, you know, an additional 5-6 minutes. It just didn't feel like it filled the time like I would have hoped it would. And I did mention in my report, and I guess the reversals out of the world's strongest slam looked really over-telegraphed to me. Maybe I'm overreacting to it, but it was just blatantly obvious to me that Henry was, like, setting up and then throwing him over his shoulders, and they kind of played it off like it was actual some kind of, you know, Orton's miraculous reversals, which was kind of bizarre.
Yeah, sometimes it happens. I don't remember that spot in particular, but it's just one of the sort of things that can happen, certainly, within wrestling. I thought it was okay. I see your point. It was kind of slow. I liked the methodical approach from Henry. I guess, you know, we get it from Orton, too, and maybe that's the problem, is when they're both trying to be methodical, it's like, no, one of you needs to be a firebrand, and the other one can be methodical. And Henry's playing the heel, so guess what, Randy, you're running around the ring. It was an entertaining match. It's worth seeing if you want to see these two guys, but it didn't set me on fire. I'm not gonna necessarily argue the point. It was an okay match, but what it did not do, whether the match was good or not, or better than either one of us thought, what it didn't really do was put any heat on the chamber, though, did it? I mean, both these guys are in the chamber match, but did this match make you want to see the Elimination Chamber match anymore?
Yeah, not necessarily. I mean, I thought the conclusion was all right. I mean, Orton using the chair, attempting to maybe, you know, put Henry out of the chamber, have him coming into the chamber injured, and then, you know, Henry kind of turning it around on him. You know, I thought that was all right and, you know, fairly well done. I think, you know, as far as the build has gone so far, I mean, the guys, they've really only given a motivation to want to win the chamber, or at least give the impression that they really, you know, have something at stake here, is Henry and Swagger. You know, Swagger has kind of found some fire with you know, Deb Coulter and that part of his character. And then Henry, you know, coming off of his comeback, he's spoken extensively about how, you know, being at home, you know, was a huge disappointment for him, and now he wants to prove to everybody that he still got it. So, I mean, they've given them motivation, but nobody else really has, and it's kind of a shame because, you know.
Right, no, I guess what I'm thinking about is a lot of time with these chamber matches, what they try to do, and what I think is very effective for the build for the chamber matches that they've done in the past, is they build to that moment where somebody's going to be in the ring and a pot is going to open and the place is going to go nuts because he knows that person is going to get his handles on somebody in the ring. I don't think they've set up a single one of those storylines. The closest thing we have to it might be Kane and Daniel Bryan, and it's that's even not quite there yet. You know what I'm saying? There's just I can't see any scenario set up right now. They may be able to do something the night of the chamber to get somebody pissed off at the other, but even from this match, if Henry's in the ring and Randy Orton's pod pops or vice versa, I'm not going to suddenly feel that rush of, oh, God, something big's about to happen. Does that make sense?
No, I'm with you there. And if anything, I think they've just set up for, you know, whoever's in the ring when Henry's pod opens is going to be in trouble. I mean, that's really what they've done so far, is that they, you know, they've set him up as a killer. But they haven't really done much for anybody else. You're right. So there's no other moment that I can think of where, like you said, there's going to be somebody in the ring, some baby face, and, you know, some monster's going to open their pod, and it's just going to be mayhem, and there's not really any of those built-in
moments. Right, or vice versa or something. You know what I'm saying? There's no two guys who you can't wait to see hook up at the chamber. That's what I think where the poor build for the chamber itself has come from. But what they did do very well, not to take away from Mark Henry, though, was the promo he cut right after the commercial, after the match. He went backstage. Matt Stryker was standing there. He grabbed the microphone and said, "Shut up and just listen to me." He said that he'd been home for 9 months. He said it was official. The Hall of Fame was open for business. He said, "Did you see what happened to Orton out there?" He said, "What do you think will happen when five of their men are in the ring with me?" He told Stryker the WWE had better have extra law enforcement, the National Guard, the Navy, and everybody else there to hold him back, because nobody would stop his road to WrestleMania. He even made a point of saying that they were going to lock those five men in a chamber with him. Mark Henry scared the hell out of me here, Jay. I mean, obviously not literally, but what a really great, effective promo from him.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's shown us, you know, when he's given motivation, that he can turn out promos like this. And, you know, the promo after he first won the World Heavyweight Championship for the first time was absolutely spectacular. And then while, you know, you can't really draw direct comparisons between this one and that one, I mean, I think they're in the same vein, where you get the impression that he really takes this seriously, and I don't get the same type of intensity from other, you know, WWE promos most of the time. I don't know whether it's, you know, Henry has just improved his acting ability, or whether he's really come to take himself more seriously in the last year or two. But it's really showing in his promos.
Yes, it was very good here. Definitely see this promo. This one was a lot of fun. Shield versus Cena, right back. Sheamus video aired. Kind of hyping what happened on Monday night. We'll talk about more about the show when we get there, when they show up in the show. Layla's out next. We get a Fandango vignette. Tell me, Jake, how excited are you for the debut of Fandango? Or wait, how excited are you for the debut of Fandango?
Johnny Curtis is committed to being weird. I mean, you got to give it to him. I mean, he really wants to try something different, and I guess, you know, you got to give him credit for at least coming up with some different stuff. And then, while I saw Fandango live, I didn't think he had a fantastic match. I think he wrestled Jamie Noble at a house show here in Minneapolis, and you know, that he ended up winning that match, and I thought, you know, he looked pretty good on offense. You know, there's some interesting stuff that he does. He was getting the dancing stuff over by the end of the match. I still think it's going to take some time, you know, once he gets on television, for that to really, you know, build any momentum. He seemed to get some kind of cheap heat with it during the match, and by the time it was over, it was getting some more reaction. So, if anything, you know, it'll be a slow-burning character. He's really going to have to work at it to get it to get over. I mean, it's going to be a struggle for him, I think.
I can't argue with that point at all. Like I said, you've seen him live. You've got more experience with it than I am. I'm very interested to see what they do with him on television. I don't know how this is going to work as a character within a narrative, so we'll see what happens. But they're making a big deal out of him, so we'll see what happens with Johnny Curtis whenever he makes his debut as Fandango. What we probably could have done with that was our third match of the night. You didn't put a time in here, but it was Tamina defeating Layla, probably about, what, 3.5 minutes, something like that?
Yeah, I think it was 4 minutes. I must have just neglected to put the time.
Okay. Yeah, well, I know there was a lot of cringing going on in this match. The finish was Tamina hitting the Superstar Splash off the top rope, of course. But the story of this match was the botches there were. And I wrote in the hit list, it's kind of funny, the thing about this match and where their missed spots were and some of the botches, the way they looked. It almost made this match rougher to watch in the sense of, you know, it looked more painful than the choreographed moves would have looked have, because specifically that spot with Layla on the apron, whatever was supposed to happen there, all I remember thinking was, ow, damn, that hurt.
Yeah, I mean, to me it looked like she was trying to pull the apron out and maybe have Layla fall through rather than land on the apron. I'm not sure. I couldn't exactly tell what happened there, but it was definitely ugly. And there was a lot of those. I mean, there was a lot of miscommunications, you know, roll-ups that didn't look very good, you know, slams and kicks that weren't really connecting very well. I mean, I don't know. It was just a bad performance on both ends here. I think there was just, you know, either a poorly laid out match where somebody was really confused or they just couldn't quite get it worked out as far as communication in the ring, but there was not a lot of crowd reaction for this. I mean, there was a couple of gasps at that one spot with Layla landing awkwardly and really sounding like she was in pain. I mean, there were some real screams there, and whether maybe she's just a tremendous actress, but that looked like it was painful. I'm sure, you know, everybody in the arena was just glad when it was over because there was just silence everywhere.
Yeah, I'm a little concerned. This makes me concerned for Sunday night. And not that I was expecting an amazing match from the women by any stretch of the imagination, but I think Layla is very underrated. I think she's a better wrestler than a lot of people give her credit for. She's not Trish Stratus, so please spare me your hate mail. But I do think she's better than a lot of people give her credit for, and especially when it comes to bumping around. And if, you know, if this is what she's going to do with Tamina, if this is the best you can get out of Tamina, who has been very spotty at times, you know, Caitlin has improved, but to be straight, quite honest, she's still greener than goose shit right now, to be fair. I worry about that match on Sunday, because I think that, you know, we're hearing from house show results that the girls that go to the shows really, really, really dig Caitlin. They're really into her, and that's a good thing for her. And I hope they don't have just a stinker that screws things up for her. Because, you know, I'd love to see a woman catch fire that was able to capture the fans' interest to a point to where WWE would care about the women's division again. I think that's the only way that division ever gets any type of serious consideration again, is if somebody just gets lucky and catches fire. And if Caitlin is got starting to build a little base, I don't want to see that screwed up by a match.
Yeah, I mean, it would be a real shame. And, you know, to be fair, I mean, I saw, I mean, at the same house show I was just talking about with Fandango, I mean, I saw a women's tag match that involved Tamina and Layla, and they both worked together fairly well. So I don't know if this was just a poor outing. You know, if somebody was just having a bad night, it's hard to tell. I mean, it was a shame that it happened on television for everyone to see. But, you know, it was... I don't know if it was indicative of what, you know, both of these women are capable of. I just think it was an extremely disappointing evening for both of them.
Yeah, and you're right. It could be just bad nights, but that when that match was over, that was my thought. Oh, God, I hope this was a bad night. I hope this isn't a harbinger of what's coming Sunday, because I would hate to see Caitlin derailed as she's just starting to potentially, you know, find a crowd that likes her. So we got footage of Rock and CM Punk to set up after the commercial break, the Rock's entrance. Dude got a little bit of a pop, didn't he? I thought that Arkansas was really, really, really excited for the Rock. How about you?
Yeah, he got a tremendous reaction. I mean, it was better than you know, what we saw from him even on Monday, I thought. I mean,
yeah,
it was just a huge reaction from that crowd. Maybe they're, I don't know how often WWE gets the little Rock. It may just be that they haven't seen the Rock in a long time, but I don't know. It was big.
Yeah, that's why I pointed it out. We talked about it in .NET Weekly how Rock's pop this week was just kind of a little more ho-hum than it's been in the past. But Arkansas was hot for him tonight, buddy. Let me tell you what, he got a great reaction. He came to the ring and started up his talking segment. He said he wanted to make something perfectly clear to CM Punk. He said on Monday he ran off with a Rock title, but that didn't make him champion. He only made a trade. He said he traded in 6 days with his belt for the ass-kicking of a lifetime that he's going to get from the Rock. Rock said Punk can hear the people because the people want the Rock to make it suffer and treat him like the spoiled little brat that he is. Well, that caused Punk to appear on the screen there with Paul Heyman, of course, Heyman holding the belt, as Punk did all the talking this time. He said that it isn't a belt, it's a title, and it belongs to the best in the world. I kind of cracked up a little bit. I don't know if that was planned about the belt or title thing, but you know, belts are what you use to hold your pants up, titles the champions wear. That's supposedly the line about that from Vince McMahon. But Punk said The Rock admitted Grand Larceny has stole the title from him because he beat him at Royal Rumble. He said Rock's the one having a temper tantrum, and that's exactly what Punk wants. He said he wanted to change things up a little bit. He beat The Rock at Royal Rumble. This time he's going to let Rock beat himself, because even if it's a count out, a disqualification, whatever it is, Rock's going to make a mistake, and he's going to beat himself. People there is going to come to a clutch. Rock said Punk talks a big game, but his words after 3 days, his words these days are worthless. Rock said that even after CM Punk paid the Shield, The Rock kept his word and beat him. Rock said that Monday morning it was going to be, don't even worry about Sunday. Monday is the day you've got to worry about, because Monday morning you're going to wake up and realize that you failed. He said that he told Punk to go tonight and quit acting like a boy, because he was just standing in the way of a steamroller of a man. And in a very, very calm voice, he did the "if you smell what The Rock is cooking" line to close it out. Punk scowling, of course, on the Titantron. A good face-to-face, one I thought they needed. Were there ways it could have been better? Absolutely there were ways it could have been better. But I felt like they needed one more good face-to-face confrontation, and this was, while not great by any stretch of the imagination, this was still a solid, good performance from both.
Yeah, I really didn't have any issue with the content at all here. I thought their the delivery was a little off, you know, compared to how intense and almost, you know, and how much the crowd got into their previous interactions when they were face-to-face in the ring. I don't know if maybe, you know, coming in via the Tron might have had something to do with that, but you know, the delivery didn't feel as sharp or as pointed. I think The Rock got lost in a couple of his points and ended up repeating himself a couple of times. It wasn't perfect delivery, but it was, you know, a face-to-face confrontation that we didn't get really on Monday. And, you know, it advanced their, you know, their story quite a bit. So, I mean, I think it accomplished what they wanted it to. It just wasn't, you know, they didn't raise the bar any from their previous encounters, if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, like I said, there were places that could have been fixed. I would have liked a little more intensity as well. But, again, there were a number of ways that this could have been a better segment. But they needed this. I really think they needed this. And while that they could have done more, I will gratefully take what we got, because I felt like that match had to have one more of these, and they were able to pull it off here. So, you know, kind of hard to hate on this. It's not something breathless. It wasn't certainly as good as the first. I'm just going to kick your ass. Exchange that they had, but something they desperately needed going into the match on Sunday. What we didn't need at that point was footage of Tensai and Brodus versus 3MB from before, because we got it again. Brodus Clay and Tensai defeating 3MB, 2 minutes and 12 seconds. Tensai not wanting to dance with Brodus Clay on the way to the ring, but willing to dance with Heath Slater in the ring to start the match. Finish on it came. You know, the match breaks down. Everybody gets dumped. Heath Slater takes Tensai's choke slam. Or no, I'm sorry. Mahal took Tensai's double-handed choke slam, and then Clay's big splash for the finish. This was just to set up for the Shield coming down next, so is there anything you want to add for the match? It was what it was. I will say this, Brodus Clay also got one hell of a reception from the Arkansas crowd.
Yeah, he really did. That much is true. I mean, I think both guys, or at least that act, got a decent reaction, but the match was a throwaway as far as I'm concerned.
Yep, and all it did was set up the fact that 3MB was, or excuse me, not 3MB, that Tensai and Brodus were in the ring for the Shield. The Shield's music hit. The men in the ring chase the women off. Shield comes out, beats down both Brodus and Tensai. Dean Ambrose grabs a mic, starts yelling into it that what they saw was going to be, wouldn't be any different from what they see on Sunday. He said on Sunday, John Cena, Sheamus, and Ryback would be put on trial and sentenced, and then they would all believe in the Shield. You had Roman Reigns screaming, believe in the Shield, looking like a crazed maniac. You had Seth Rollins kind of pacing back and forth in the background. Ambrose much more under control than he was on Monday night. I thought this was a very effective visual. I thought this put some heat back on this group that they needed. I thought that getting beat up by the babyfaces 2 weeks in a row was a mistake, and they took a little something off of them. And even though all they beat up was Brodus Clay and Tensai, I think the more controlled Dean Ambrose promo, very, very short, and the way the other two were just acting was a great visual and put a lot of heat back on the Shield.
Yeah, I would agree. I think the triple power bomb on Brodus Clay was really cool looking. You know, it's impressive to see a guy like that get picked up no matter if it takes three shots. But the you know, the promo was short and to the point. He did not ramble as much or come, you know, as nearly as unhinged as he was on Monday. And, you know, it was effective. I mean, they, you know, these guys needed a little bit of propulsion into Sunday, and they got it here. You know, the I don't know, you know, if the baby faces were just trying, if they were just trying to, you know, get those baby faces over the team that they could gel and take on the Shield, who had been portrayed as pretty much dominant throughout their entire run thus far. But I don't think it did much for, you know, for the group, you know, taking those beatings, and the promo was kind of meandering. So this was a much more focused segment, and I thought it did a lot more for the Shield than what we've seen on Raw the last couple weeks.
Yeah, it's I like it. This was a good moment for them. And again, to go back to the point earlier about Fandango being important, how important was it? We got two vignettes for Fandango this week, and then we got our fourth and most random match of the night, The Miz defeating Cody Rhodes in 3 minutes and 11 seconds with the figure four leg lock that still looks like shit. It's not as bad as it was that first time, but it still doesn't look like it, Miz is using it right for some reason. I can't explain it. But just a random-ass match, right? I mean, they showed the video of him getting beat up by Antonio Cesaro and all that sort of thing. But this match just seemed incredibly random and did nothing to build to that match. They showed him getting beat up, but then he beats up Cody Rhodes, and that's kind of it. I didn't get it.
Yeah, I didn't get it either. It kind of felt unnecessary. I thought they could have, you know, allotted whatever, I think it was, what, 4 minutes maybe? Allotted that time to you know, to something else on the show. I mean, you know, I guess they had the Miz, you know, bandaged up so that, you know, to sell the injury. But, I mean, Rhodes hasn't really reestablished himself as a singles act yet. So, I mean, Miz didn't gain a whole lot by beating him, and Rhodes certainly didn't need to lose. So, I mean, it was, you know, they put themselves into a weird spot here. I mean, even a promo segment from the Miz or Cesaro about Sunday would have been better than what we got.
Yeah, you're right. I forgot about Miz being bandaged up. They made that point, but that would have been fine going into the pay-per-view on Sunday for him to come out in the wrap. We would have got it instantly. Yeah, this just seemed very rare. Oh, crap, we need to get Miz on is almost what it seemed like they did. So I didn't like this at all. It just seemed completely random and hastily thrown together. Even the next match, which also hasn't carried about as much weight, at least on some level made more sense because, again, they're trying to reestablish the new mouthpiece for Jack Swagger, Zip Coulter, a.k.a. Dutch Mantel. So, but at least, I'm sorry, after commercial, we had our fifth match of the night, Jack Swagger defeating Zack Ryder at 3 minutes and 23 seconds. Finish all this came with Swagger clipping the leg, hitting a gut-wrench powerbomb, and then putting on the Patriot ankle lock for the submission victory, leaving Ryder out. The match set up the promo, so I'm going to go straight to the promo. If there's anything you want to add about the match, if I turn it over to you, Jake, certainly, you know, put that in there. It was what it was. Ryder took a beating so Swagger could look good. But then we got to the important part. Jeff Coulter gets in the ring. Swagger introduces him again. Coulter said in the Declaration of Independence, it says that all men are created equal, but the choices you make define you. He says you can make good choices and be patriots like Jack Swagger and Zeb Coulter, or you can be like Zack Ryder and care more about your hair than you do your country. Coulter said that their eyes are wide open and the country is broken, and they know what the solution is. He said, remember, we the people, and that was the end of the promo. Jake, I am so happy this stepped away from the more xenophobic approach it took on Monday. I for me personally, the you don't look like me and therefore I hate you act is just overplayed and tired. And I realize it is indicative of real people that are out there that are assholes, but I just don't want to see that play out on my television. That's me personally. So this makes me happy that they're going this direction. But I'll ask you as a side question as well, and get your thoughts on all of this, but this question is as well, isn't this a little bit, though, like the Antonio Cesaro act with, you know, I don't hate America, but I hate Americans? Isn't this dangerously close to that act?
Yeah, I mean, they definitely shifted gears from where they were on Monday, and I can see, you know, where you could draw pretty easy parallels between what they're doing here and what Cesaro is doing. I think that, you know, the delivery is far different, but, you know, and I guess you can make the argument that, you know, it's Cesaro is more criticizing America's reputation abroad, and maybe culture is trying to point out America's internal conflicts, and you know, maybe you can draw the distinction there. But it is, I mean, it, you know, you are kind of muddying up, you know, what both guys are doing by having these happen concurrently. So I think, you know, you can make a good argument there. But I really do like, you know, the way Mantell is delivering these promos. I thought Monday was a little bit over the top as far as, you know, how it seemed to be squarely aimed in the direction of immigrants, and I'm not sure WWE really wanted to go there, because they do have, you know, strong audiences, you know, as far as Hispanics are concerned. I know it's one of their, you know, primary audiences in the Southwest and the southern part of the country. So, you know, I think where they're going with this, it could work out pretty well for Swagger. I do think he needed somebody to pick up his intensity and deliver promos like this for him, because I just don't think, you know, he's capable of it. And, you know, as we both mentioned last week, he does have a lisp, and that's something they have to work around. And maybe this is a better workaround than just having him cut promos where, you know, he undermines his intensity with his own lisp, which is unfortunate, but it is just the way it is. So I like where they're going with Swagger. And I like what they're doing with Coulter. I think, you know, they can still fine-tune this and maybe give it a little bit better of an identity than what it has now.
Monday night, Raw goes off the air. You, me, Jason, most everyone goes, well, obviously they're building to a Jack Swagger, Alberto Del Rio feud based upon that promo. Promo tonight doesn't make that so obvious. Do you still think that that's the ultimate goal for this, is Del Rio versus Jack Swagger? Or does the new direction of this promo say that maybe that first one was an aberration? And while they're probably sure to wrestle, because everybody wrestles everybody nowadays in WWE, nobody gets saved. But, you know, while they're probably likely to wrestle, does this necessarily point to that feud that we all thought we were going to see after Monday night?
Yeah, I don't know if I could give you an answer. I mean, I think that, you know, Monday might have been an aberration, but, you know, they didn't have a whole lot of time for this promo here, and they mentioned, you know, we the people, and we know the solution, and the country is broken. And so, I mean, while they were a little more vague here, I guess we have to wait and see for them to reveal their solution before I could really give you an answer. I mean, you know, and it sounds like they're still kind of pushing the hyper-patriotism, nationalism-type angle here. But, you know, whether that turns into maybe a tamer type of xenophobia that wasn't quite as blatant, I don't know. But it does seem like, you know, they still are leaning in that direction. Maybe they're just going to go about it a little more in a more nuanced or subtle fashion than they were originally.
And for what it's worth, on the SmackDown, the after the match or whatever it is they call it, I forget the video that they do that, you know, supposedly happens after SmackDown, they did interview Swagger and Coulter again, and it was more the same. Remember, we the people. So whatever it is, I'm curious at this point. Actually, everybody was pretty much so convinced Monday night, oh, that's Swagger and Del Rio, obviously. But now I don't know that it's quite as clear. Doesn't mean it's not going to happen, but I don't think it's nearly as clear as it was Monday night. Obviously, we'll figure out more Sunday night based upon how things go inside the Elimination Chamber. Speaking of Del Rio, after commercial, when he was interviewed backstage by Matt Stryker, he pointed out that he had not pinned Big Show. That was true. Del Rio said, well, that's right, but let's play a game I'll ask questions, and Ricardo, you respond to me. He said, you know, have I beaten the Big Show? And Ricardo would say, see, and he goes, you know, have I beaten him twice? Whatever, all the different questions you see, he goes, did Big Show look like a giant pumpkin after I poured orange paint on him a couple of weeks ago? And Ricardo again said, see. Del Rio said, he goes, do you think I'll be able to defeat Big Show and go on to WrestleMania as the World Heavyweight Champion? And then we got the CCC chant from Ricardo from there. Silly promo, but, you know, I think Del Rio's act is starting to catch. I really do. I think he's starting to get cheered in places that have less to do with who the population is and just the fact that he's starting to catch. And so, it wasn't great, but it wasn't necessarily bad either.
No, I mean, it was kind of a lighthearted type of promo, obviously. I mean, they seem to be playing up these two more so as a team now that, you know, they've switched them over to babyface. You know, Del Rio's treating Ricardo with a much greater deal of respect and, you know, as an integral part of his act rather than just kind of his servant. So I think they're doing well here to, you know, get Del Rio and Ricardo over as sympathetic characters. So, I mean, while I don't necessarily agree all the time with a lot of what they're doing as far as the really stereotypical parts of his act, that I do think, you know, when they leave part of that out and just let them try to relate to the audience, they do a pretty good job of it.
Big Show made his entrance before the commercial break. Afterwards, Jericho was out for our sixth and final match of the night. Big Show defeating Chris Jericho at 6 minutes and 38 seconds. This thing went back and forth with both guys getting in some moves. Show hit the choke slam at one point. Jericho rolled to the floor to get away from him. Jericho went for the walls. Jericho at one point, Show powered out. Finish on came, though, when Jericho went to the top rope and jumped off the top rope, and Big Show KO punched him to get the victory. I think I had that right. No, I'm sorry. It was after the walls of Jericho. I apologize. The Show kicked out of it, got up, and knocked Jericho out as Jericho charged in. The choke slam came off of the top rope move. I'm sorry. And but he knocked him out for the victory. Stood tall afterwards. Del Rio came out, stood at the top of the ramp, and you know, held up the title. You know, for me, if anything, it just said Chris Jericho is probably not going to win the Chamber. I don't think that this necessarily means that. But I think that's the message that got sent more so than anything else with this match is, oh, well, Jericho can't win the Chamber. I didn't put anything on Big Show. Del Rio's involvement at the end was separate from the match, and really only Jericho was the guy that looked kind of bad coming out of this.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't think it really did anything for either of the pay-per-view matches involved. I mean, Show got a win, I guess, you know, that, and that's good. But, you know, I don't know how much heat was put on their pay-per-view match that wasn't already there. I mean, and I guess that goes for this entire show. It just kind of felt like treading water in some instances. But, you know, it was a solid match. I thought Jericho and Show worked pretty well together. Jericho did his best to sell his ass off for Show's offense, you know, bounced around quite a bit. It was fairly well done for a short match, and the finish was, I guess, what you would have expected given that Show was kind of rebounding after getting embarrassed last week and wants to head into a pay-per-view looking pretty strong. So it was a decent short match, and while it didn't really advance the pay-per-view much, it was entertaining anyway.
Yeah, it's, you know, you got everybody on the show, and that's kind of what they did with this SmackDown, when they got everybody they wanted to highlight on the show, but I don't know that they used them the most effective ways. Again, this is a prime example. Jericho's on the show, doesn't look great. Big Show's on the show, doesn't get anything added to him. No real interaction with Ian Del Rio other than a stare down at the end, which is, you know, what is that really going to do at this point? So, not a bad show, though. It's so funny. It's like, how do you grade it? How do you grade the show? What is the most important thing to you? If it's how well they sold the pay-per-view, well, this was a pretty crappy SmackDown. I mean, it was. It did a poor, poor, poor job of selling that pay-per-view. If you're not looking at it from that standpoint and just go, well, how entertaining was it? It wasn't a bad show. I thought that the Miz match with Cody Rhodes was lame and kind of weak. Of course, the women's match had problems. Tensai and Clay were entertaining for what they were. The opening segment was fine. The Henry Orton match was fine. The Jericho Show match was fine. But, you know, not a great episode, but not a bad one either. So it kind of depends on how you look at it, whether or not it was a good show or not, and whether or not you think it's worth watching. But that's all the time we've got for the show this week. Jake, you got anything you want to add about SmackDown before we get out of here?
No, I think we covered everything. Just, you know, stay tuned for the pay-per-view. It should be an entertaining one.
Yep, and Jason Powell and I will have double coverage of this Sunday's WWE Elimination Chamber starting at 6:30 p.m. Central Time, starting with that YouTube show. Maybe I'll actually have some luck with the YouTube show. Since they've started it, I've never gotten one to start on time for me. And this time I'm going to try the WWE website for the YouTube and see if it helps. But always have trouble with that stupid pre-show. And Jason Powell and I will be by after the show as well with our audio review of the Elimination Chamber, but that one will be exclusive to our members, and there is no excuse now not to sign up to be a .NET member. We are going back to the original pricing, folks. Our charter members who were there from the first day, who have been able to lock in their prices, even their price isn't better than this. It's the exact same thing. They've got only $5 a month. We're giving away free months when you sign up for a six-month or a one-year option. All you have to do, head on over to ProWrestling.net, and it's the very first story listed there, the .NET member birthday. And again, members, if you are signed up, would like to lock in on this new option or the new cost as opposed to what you're paying now, you do need to go and cancel your other subscription and sign up for this one. It's not an automatic thing where you sign up and it replaces your old one. Sign up, probably the best thing to do, sign up first for the new subscription, cancel the old one, and you'll be locked in at that price as well. Jake and I will be back next Saturday with another review of WWE SmackDown. And again, Jason Powell and I will be back Sunday night with our review of the Elimination Chamber. Until then, everyone have a great weekend, and we will see you back Sunday night. Take care.